Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back, our two Devil's Advocates, the Hump Day Edition, the Happier Happy Hour. And we're happy right now to welcome back the returning champ. He is John Nichols from the Nation, from the Cap Times. You know him, you love him. Welcome back, John.
Hey, John.
Pleasure to be with you both.
John, I got to tell you, I'm starting to be concerned about the political races, about the midterms, and they're, what, 34, 35 days away? Here's the problem, John. I am seeing and I am hearing just nasty, negative Southern strategy, I would say racially overtoned or outright racist ads targeting Mandela Barnes. And John, as I see the polling starting to trickle in, it seemingly has impact. And I saw that you had written an article at the Cap Times, you know, saying grab the narrative, Evers, Mandela. Well, let's talk about the narrative. Right now, they're getting clubbed with the narrative, aren't they, John? The narrative's crime.
Yeah, you're right. Right now, the Republicans are, and their incredibly well-funded allies, are writing the narrative of this campaign. And the important thing to understand is that this happens in every campaign. One party or the other, one side of the fight or the other, writes the narrative. They basically define what the race is about. That's what happened in 2020 when Joe Biden and the Democrats really wrote the narrative around the issue of COVID and the response to it and the need, as they suggested at that time, to build back better, to, you know, come out of this COVID crisis with a sane and responsible approach. Trump had no answer to that because he had mismanaged COVID. Pence had no answer to that because he was even, if anything, more inept than Trump. And so as a result, you had a real impact there. I don't think there's any question that in that case, the narrative went on the side of the Democrats and they prevailed. They didn't just win the presidency. They also, because of the Georgia results, got the control of the Senate. They had the House already. So it was a pretty remarkable moment. This time around, Democrats had expected that the issue that would define the narrative would be abortion rights. And it did back in June and July coming into August. If you looked at Google searches, abortion rights were, you know, Trump and everything else, to use that word. But that has shifted. Now, as we get into the final month of the campaign, as we get into sort of the critical stage where things are going to be defined, the Republican emphasis on crime, the Republican, frankly, flat out lies about some of the issues, lies about some of the stats, has built this issue up to a level that it is clearly doing damage to Democrats. Races are still close. I mean, obviously, seats are up for grabs, not just in Wisconsin, but around the country. But it's absolutely evident that the Democrats have to get into the game. And they have to, in a coherent way, define the narrative. They have to say, what is this race about? And I would argue that they have the easiest issues in the world to work with. Rick Scott, the head of the Senate, Republican Senate Campaign Committee, has said that if they get control of the Senate, if they ultimately get the presidency, they want to mess with Social Security and Medicare. Ron Johnson calls Social Security a Ponzi scheme, wants to mess with it as well. I'd start there and I'd say, you know, Ron Johnson, you want to talk about crime? That's great. We all want crime to go down, but I'd like to talk about something else in addition to that. And that is saving Social Security. And Ron Johnson, you don't believe in Social Security. You don't want to defend it. Suddenly, if you start hitting on that kind of issue, the whole tenor of the debate shifts. And instead of being on the offense, which is where Ron Johnson is right now, he's put on the defense. And frankly, that's the way you win elections.
Well, John Nichols, the first senatorial debate, one of two, will be this Friday night at 7 o'clock. But it's only an hour, and it goes against high school football in basically every market in Wisconsin. So it's not going to hugely impactful.
Interrupt you.
Yes, sir.
If I can interrupt you just a second, I want to get into that because you're exactly right. But it's sort of like the summer debate, right? Which was, remember the summer debate between the Democrats on the nicest Sunday afternoon of the summer?
I do not, John. I enjoyed the nice weather that day, I suspect.
Yeah, I think there was like four people who watched. Even members of the candidates' families weren't watching that debate. And so we have this terrible problem in Wisconsin where our media outlets and the candidates, frankly, do not fight to have these debates in prime time at a point when, you know, there's really going to be people watching it, right? And so it is a problematic situation. But even though debates are not seen by everyone, the sound bites from those debates, the clips from those debates, those are seen, right? They appear on the evening news, they're written about in the paper, you hear them on radio, etc. And so, again, this is how you get to that heart and soul narrative issue, because if, say, in this case, Mandela Barnes comes out really swinging on Social Security, on Medicare, on, you know, health care, don't hit too many things. Keep it tight and focused on some things that you know will really have an impact, and on abortion rights. Then I think that gets the clips, that ends up being written about, it's paid attention to. And if, say, Mandela Barnes were to come into that Friday night debate and say, look, we're going to talk about a lot of issues tonight. I want to put one issue on the table. If Ron Johnson is reelected and if Republicans take control of the Senate, they will use their position and undermine Social Security. They will weaken Social Security. They will weaken Medicare. And our seniors will be in a more vulnerable place. And people who are working right now are going to find themselves in a much more difficult place. And if he said that at the start, and he kept coming back to that again and again and again, with stats, with data, with, you know, just a fierce attack, by the end of that debate, you would see Ron Johnson sputtering. And, you know, they're, whoa, you know. I guess I didn't mean it was a Ponzi scheme.
We're familiar with how Ron sputters. Our fine guest, John Nichols, always silver-tongued. John, I digress for just a moment, but you know I'm a single-issue voter. I care a lot about talk radio, progressive talk radio, and the airwaves. And here's what I would say, John. A one-hour debate, I don't care how effective Mandela is in his attack, he is not going to be able to match what's been going on the radio airwaves. Every country stick, every rock and roll stick, every right-wing news talk stick in this state, John, is filthy with anti-Mandela ads from the NRSC, filthy with Ron Johnson ads and Tim Michael ads, and as near as I can tell, the Democrats have entirely ceded the radio airwaves to the Republicans for the last year. How do you win, John? How do you win if they bash your head in on one of the major mediums?
Yeah, you don't do that, right? I mean, look, you hit all of your platforms. And I will tell you, radio is a huge part of it because, you know, as long as people are in cars, right, and we still have a fossil fuel-based economy, people are going to be listening to that radio. As long as they're making dinner at home, people are going to be listening to that radio. And so any political campaign that doesn't recognize the need to hit all these platforms is practicing, you know, political malpractice, right? It's a failed and foolish approach. And let me emphasize, I know you care about radio a lot. Let me talk about another one as well, and that is the digital platform. If you go on any digital platform, you know, you want to watch, you know, a YouTube video of the Rolling Stones playing Can't You Hear Me Knocking? You know what's going to come on before that video? A Ron Johnson ad. I mean, I see it. I know, because that's what I do all day, is watch videos of, you know, Rocklin. And I can tell you, I've seen more Ron Johnson ads coming up on YouTube videos and places, you know, and digital platforms. And this is the Republicans figuring out that we live in the 21st century and people get their information from all sorts of different places. And so you have to put your resources into traditional media platforms like radio, and you also have to put it into these digital platforms. And you got to be ahead of the curve, not behind it, producing new ads, new, you know, information every day, not putting something up and letting it get stale over the course of, you know, 2 weeks or 2 months. And so there's a real challenge here. But the good news is it doesn't take very long to cut a radio ad or to cut a digital ad. And, you know, to do a good ad targeted as regards, say, the issue of Social Security and Medicare to websites, radio stations, and TV stations that older folks, and I'm talking about folks over 45, pay a lot of attention to, you could have those up tomorrow.
John Nichols from The Nation. John, we're coming up on a break. Do you have a few more minutes for us on the other side of this coming break?
I love talking about this stuff. I'll stick
awesome, with it. Awesome. I want to let you stew on this one for a moment. And I'm down. I think the Social Security and Medicare saving that, you know, identifying Ron Johnson and the Republicans' position on that historically, certainly bang him over the head with that. But it seems to me that it's not really sexy for the kids. You know what I mean, John? I mean, what about going after Ron Johnson on his character, for example? I mean, we have a video of him pretending to talk on his phone and the lies he's spoken about. I wasn't even involved. I was there for 2 seconds. I was there for 5 seconds. I was there for an hour. You know, what about something like that? Above and beyond the policy, John, what could the Democrats, what could Mandela Barnes go after Ron Johnson on a personal level that would make it sexy? Well, I'll let you stew on that one.
Yeah. When we come back from this break,
yes,
I promise we will have a whole bunch of very funny ads that could be.
I look forward to it. John Nichols, our friend from The Nation and the Capital Times in Madison. We are the Devil's Advocates. Come back with us, 844-967-2789.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Be sure to check us out on the socials, on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, and for podcasts or interviews, go to darnwy.com.
Dominic, we appreciate our Rolling Stones loving fine guest, John Nichols from the Cap Times, from The Nation, for sticking around. You know, John, I snuck over to the Daily Beast, you know, one of the online publications. Sure enough, between the Ron Johnson's record is a target rich for Dems, yet he's winning headline was a digital ad saying only Ron Johnson can rein in Washington spending. John, you're absolutely right. He's all over the digital.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, we just played a little bit of Can't You Hear Me Knocking as we came into, you know, back into the show here. And I can guarantee you, if you go Google it, there's a good chance you're going to see a Ron Johnson ad. And so the fact of the matter is that we got to start thinking a little more about, you know, how people communicate. And let me give you an example of the guy who absolutely gets it. And that is John Fetterman out in Pennsylvania. Anytime Dr. Oz, you know, like trips when he's coming across the border from New Jersey, you know, Fetterman's got something up on Facebook and on Twitter, and he's got ads up, you know, all over the place in digital platforms. He's on radio. He's on TV. And I'll give you a good example. There was a report this week that Dr. Oz experimented 300 puppies, right? And, you know, I mean, it's pretty kind of unpleasant bit of information there.
Right.
The second that report went up, Fetterman's up on his Twitter with Dr. Oz is a puppy killer. You know, I mean, that's
PolitiFact says true, John.
But in this day and age, that's what I mean. You move fast, you move bluntly. The Republicans are pretty good at this. A lot of Democrats, they're too cautious. That's one of the reasons why, when you look at the polling data, Fetterman continues to maintain a pretty solid lead. It's not as big as it was, but a pretty solid lead over Dr. Oz. And it's because he never lets Dr. Oz get up from the mat, right? When Dr. Oz gets knocked down, Fetterman is there, you know, ready to keep at it. And it has been very effective.
What about the Mandela Barnes ads, John? I've noted one for peanut butter and jelly. And many people have pointed out to me he did not wipe off the peanut butter from the knife before he stuck it in the jelly. They were bothered by that small aspect. And then he was out hitting some baseballs in the field, John. Is it a proper response? I guess that's the ultimate question.
Well, it's fine. You know what? Those are the ads that you run in like June and July, right? Earlier, maybe even May, earlier in the campaign to establish who you are, right? Those are sort of scene-setting ads, and they have a role in politics. There's no question. But when you get to early October, right, when it is really the kind of, you know, cutting-edge moment of the campaign, the moment that will define where things
go. Use your elbows!
I think you might want to move beyond the peanut butter and, you know, go, you know, straight on in to the, you know, Dr. Oz is a puppy killer message. And it's not like Ron Johnson doesn't lend himself to such message. I mean, you before we went to the break, you brought up the phone, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine how many ads you could cut on that? You could have Wisconsinites calling about all kinds of issues, right? And, right. I'm sorry, I'm on the phone.
there's so many ways to go after it. John, I mean, ultimately, that's what it comes down to, right? I mean, and policy and Social Security, Medicare, I think those are important things, and it certainly needs to be part of the attack ads. But I mean, I think character should be it. I mean, we've got people calling this show, John, thinking that, oh, he is a Ron Johnson, a man of high moral character, because he says he is. You know, and I think all you have to do is look at the tape, John, and put it together, and you can show that that's not, in fact, the case. Does that resonate,
Dom,
with the voters, though?
But, Dom, I think what you're really saying is you want to have a little more fun with this campaign. I mean, truthfully, you'd like to kind of get to the heart and soul of where things are at.
Well, we are in it for the political party, John.
Well, let me give you an example of where I might go. You know,
yes.
Ron Johnson is somebody who said that mouthwash might play a role in fighting COVID. I mean, that ad makes itself, right? You know, you got somebody gargling in the morning and they got the radio on and they hear Ron Johnson says mouthwash, you know, has something to do with COVID, and the person spits on the mirror. You know, the fact of the matter is, you're laughing just talking about it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, these ads write themselves, and you have to ask yourself, why aren't they being written? Why aren't they being, you know, kind of brought into the game, as has happened in the Pennsylvania race, where, again, I would argue, and I've been following that race closely, Fetterman's been very effective.
John, but here's the problem with Wisconsin Democrats in the last couple cycles. Effectively, whoever was the front runner the day the primary started came out the other side unscathed, nearly untouched. There were no challenges during the primary. No one challenged anything about Mandela's taxes, character, or any other aspect of his life, any of the things that obviously Ron Johnson was going to come after the guy for. So first and foremost, he goes unchallenged through the primary. It's frustrating to me that we don't flush these things out earlier and anesthetize these candidates from the negative things you could say. Oh, I already covered that in the primary. I'm done talking about that. They never get to that point, John. They always get clubbed right before the general.
Well, exactly. And so, look, I happen to think that Mandela Barnes is a very strong candidate. I think his core message of being a son of working class parents, coming out of a tough neighborhood and achieving a great deal, his absolute commitment to addressing deindustrialization, his strong support for unions and for working class issues and concerns, as well as the fact that he's a pro-choice candidate running at a point when abortion rights are under threat. Well, all of these things are, you know, pretty strong measures. This is powerful stuff. It can work.
John Nichols, always powerful stuff. We're out of time, John. More Devil's Advocates, the happier happy hour rolls on.
Thanks, John.
I'm at Wegner's, and my wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the happier happy hour. Always happy and thankful when John Nichols comes around, even on the shortest of notice. Thank you, John, for taking the call and taking the interview. Always appreciate it. We'll take your calls during the rest of this show. There's still time for you at 844-967-2789. But Dom, at a little of the reporting from the Daily Beast, Ron Johnson's record is a target rich for Dems, and yet he's winning. That's the troubling part. I'd like to read a little of this piece. When Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson announced in January that despite promising to retire after a second term, he made that promise to us, didn't he, Dom?
Mm-hmm.
He'd run for a third term for the sake of the nation. Party strategist
on that wall.
Party strategist wasted no time in dubbing him the most vulnerable Republican Senate incumbent in the cycle. But with just 5 weeks left until the midterm elections, Johnson is inching ahead in the polls against Democratic nominee Mandela Barnes, the state's lieutenant governor and a rising star on the left. As the clock runs out on the Democrats' chances to seize a seat that seemed well within their reach, some are scratching their heads on what sort of political Kevlar Johnson's got on. The Teflon John, a little bit more. After all, with the far-right record like Johnson's in a swing state like Wisconsin, operatives believe there was so much for Democrats to work with, but with those political blessings come a curse. Our buddy Joe Sopecki, Coach Joe, he'll come around more after football season's over. He's not much of a football coach. It'll be a short season, so no playoffs to get in the way. But anyways, our buddy Joe Sopecki, Sopecki Communications, being quoted here, one of the challenges with a candidate like Johnson is it's such a target-rich environment. There's just so much to work with. Sopecki went on to said to say which of those narratives are the ones that are going to have the most profound impact. In this point in the cycle, you can no longer throw the kitchen sink at Rojo. And the information environment has most Wisconsin voters hiding under the couch cushions. It's true, there's so much for Democrats to discuss when it comes to Johnson's public statements alone. He has spread conspiracies about COVID-19, pushed against mass vaccinations, insisted the human immune system can handle itself just fine.
Just fine.
He suggested the January 6th attack on the Capitol was not an armed insurrection.
He said it again yesterday.
Despite the fact that it was an insurrection with weapons. And though Johnson declined to sign on to Senator Lindsey Graham's latest national abortion ban, he supported national abortion bans in previous renditions. That's all, of course, is on top of Johnson's typical Republican chops, like supporting cutbacks to Medicare and Social Security. I think John Nichols noted that, which Democrats and racists nationwide love to chomp at. Our buddy Scott Ross, a second Wisconsin Democratic strategist, said of the Democrats' various talking points, I don't think any of those are not effective, but the Democrats could surely benefit from having one message across the board. Instead of focusing on a narrow set of talking points, Democratic messengers have loosely fashioned Johnson into a Republican boogeyman. Ads, some launched before Johnson even formally announced his reelection bid, have pinned the center on gun control, taxes, abortion, outsourcing jobs, Social Security, and Medicare, being a Washington insider, and his lackadaisical response to the J6 riots. His COVID antics, including suggesting the gargling mouthwash can cure a COVID infection, have largely been left out of the advertising. John Nichols said to what the Democrats' failure, but have still percolated in the conversation.
Indeed.
One more quote here, at least. I think part of the challenge here for the Democrats, they kind of punched themselves out in Wisconsin. I'm not clear that that's the case, according to Chris Hartline, spokesperson for the National Republican Senatorial Committee, who added that Wisconsin is one of the places where everything is sort of lining up in the right way for Republicans.
Oh, no. Crudy, in contrast, Johnson and his Republican counterparts are operating as if they found their Apple Gold and are hammering it to bits. Crime. Messages against Barnes in recent months has been almost singularly focused on crime, including Barnes' support for ending cash bail, redirecting a portion of police budget towards social services. In hammering that message, Republican strategists like Hartline believe that Johnson, in combination with outspending Barnes and launching television ads early, has moved the needle in his favor. Hartline added, he thinks Johnson is running one, if not the best campaign in the country. Oh, my God. Julia Azari, political science professor at Marquette University, told the Daily Beast, crime is an issue that can possibly sway swing voters and independents in Wisconsin. It's a pretty loud dog whistle, this particular set of ads on crime. But what we do know is people are susceptible to that. And people who are cross-pressured, I think, are potentially susceptible to those kinds of appeals, says Azari, referencing cross-pressured voters who may be liberal on some issues and conservative on others.
Dom, I think they get the gist. Ron Johnson, this target-rich boogeyman of the Republican Party, I mean, Dom, all they have to do is go to the archives of the Devil's Advocates. We've interviewed the man 25, 26 times, right? There's enough there to bury him just in our archives. But we really haven't seen any effective attacks leveled on Ron Johnson. Maybe it's the scattershot. Maybe it's the shotgun approach. But the problem here is we're 5-6 weeks away, and every television flight has been purchased. Every ad has been bought. I mean, there's no more places to jam the anti-Ron Johnson ads, and he's in the lead. So really it's going to come down to, A, can Mandela do something, maybe go viral, have a moment at the senatorial debate coming up this Friday.
Debates are going to be very important.
If we haven't mentioned, we're playing it out right here on the Civic Media, originating on the Devil Radio, so you can hear the senatorial debate this Friday night at 7 o'clock. Dom, have we decided? Are we doing the pre-debate show right up to the action?
I don't know. Do we got a spot to party from? What's the home base looking like? You got to clear
we
it up.
Party, man. Just tell me where you want to party. I'll meet you
we'll
there.
We'll figure it out. Before we get to the callers, 844-967-2789, Barnes's campaign spokesperson, Maddie McDaniel, said this. Ron Johnson is the most vulnerable Republican incumbent in the country, and the scrutiny on his record throughout this race has only made it more likely that voters in Wisconsin will send him packing this fall. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is campaigning hard in every corner of the state and will continue to hold Johnson accountable for his support of an abortion ban with no exceptions for rape or incest, spending his time in Washington enriching his wealthy donors and attacking Social Security and Medicare, McDaniel added.
844-967-2789. You know where U.S. Senator Ron Johnson hails from? Minnesota. Shay from Minneapolis, listening perhaps on AM 950. Welcome to the party. What do you got for us, Shay?
Hi, Shay.
Good afternoon. I am just incensed. In the last couple weeks, I have received two huge, full-color, glossy ads with a picture of Mandela Barnes. Now, I'm in Minneapolis. Remember, that's not part of Wisconsin. Mandela Barnes with across his chest, defund the police. Don't vote for someone who will reduce public safety. Like, what, you know, like, how could he be stupid enough to embrace that stupid slogan? I mean, we know what it means. We know it doesn't mean weaken the police. But we're progressive, and it's like throwing red meat to the Republican dogs. And I saw, I can't believe he was stupid enough to embrace that. You don't have.
Well, and he also held up a T-shirt. Mandela held up a T-shirt that's.
I saw a interview with him just a few days ago, a recent one, where he was given a chance to espouse that, and he ducked the question.
Cher, I didn't see the interview that you must have seen. I know that he also is photographed holding up a T-shirt saying abolish ICE. Now, he has said over and over and over again, depending on which interview you listen to, that it's not his intent to defund the police. And, you know, abolish ICE was just a T-shirt, effectively. But the attacks on him, the crime attacks, and Shay, you in Minneapolis shouldn't be getting flyers from Ron Johnson. But the Republican Party especially has been sending out mail pieces where Mandela Barnes, who's African-American, but relatively light-skinned, I mean, he's got sort of a tan like Dominic going on, but suddenly he's a very black man. He's been photoshopped. They filtered him darker. And John Nichols, he was here, a fine guest. He wrote the article about the Southern strategy being utilized by Ron Johnson. This is the Lee Atwater. This is the Nixon strategy. This is to scare the good white people that this guy is a scary creature. And my only fear in the senatorial debate coming up this Friday right here on Devil Radio and Civic Media is that if Mandela comes off as too angry, Ron Johnson's going to have a whole phalanx of ads rolling out. Beware the angry black man. Did you see him at the debate on Friday night?
They're already playing him, so that's not a concern of mine. Thanks for the call, Shay. 844-967-2789. Let's go down the list. Robert, Columbia Heights, Minnesota, you are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Robert.
20 years ago, Minnesota had a similar senator, a senator who made a similar promise as Rojo. He said he would only serve two terms. His name was Paul Wellstone. And then he changed his mind and got on a plane and died in a plane crash in northern Minnesota. I think that's how we ended up with Al Franken. But maybe you guys should suggest that Rojo go for a little plane ride.
I think we're going to move on from that suggestion. You know, Ron flies private planes, mostly to Florida, by understanding. 844-967-2789. Gary from Sussex, our little conservative love muffin. Gary, how you been?
Hey, Gary.
Well, hi, guys. I'm not a love muffin. I'm a deplorable fascist dog.
Depends on the day, so Gary.
Okay. All right. I think it would have been better if Ron Johnson would have ran against Russ Feingold. I think that he would be a better candidate. I don't know where he's been hiding. He's not that old. He could have been running again.
My kid sees Russ Feingold all the time. He still lives in Middleton. He still eats at the Roman Candle and tips fairly well, my son says. Yeah.
And he's a fairly nice guy.
Rhodes Scholar. No one ever accused Ron Johnson of being a Rhodes Scholar, Gary.
But the thing is, Russ Feingold doesn't have all these things in his closet, which are, you know, I mean, what
things? Come on, Gary. Let's talk about some of the things in the closet that have you so concerned about the candidate Mandela Barnes. Go. What thing? What's your biggest thing in the closet?
Getting rid of cash bail. Okay. If you're going to do the crime, if you're going to go steal a car, no, you're going to sit in jail. And if you don't want to sit in jail, then don't steal a car.
But you realize cash bail is not a deterrent to the crime. It's just to get you to show up for your trial date. Cash bail is not there to keep you in jail, Gary. And as the proposition was put forth by candidate Mandela Barnes, if you were a violent offender, you would not be eligible for cash bail. So if you're talking about a guy like Daryl Brooks, the perpetrator of the multiple murders at the Waukesha Christmas parade,
no,
Daryl Brooks would not have been out on cash bail due to the recent violent domestic violence offense. He tried to run a woman over with a car.
Under Mandela Barnes's plan.
Correct, under his Gary. Proposition, Gary.
Right. I do understand. But I'm talking about, because I do work in the city every day, and every single day I see people flying through stoplights.
But that's a different issue than holding the guy in jail because he's broke, Gary. You know what I mean?
I know that, but the thing is, if you're going to go steal a car, that's a felony, and you should be more, you know, you should just steal a car. If you're so poor you can't afford to pay cash bail, then you shouldn't do the crimes. You know, keep us all safe. But
well,
that's not exactly what I
mean, Gary. Sometimes, you know, the financial straits of a person will dictate whether or not they do a crime. That's also one part of the issues, Gary.
I think you make an excellent point, Dominic. The lack of opportunity Gary, in the city of Milwaukee for many of the youths. And I admire what one of our own hosts, Earl Ingram, is instrumental behind a group called Voices of the Elder Vote. And what they have done is they've gotten the city of Milwaukee and they've gotten support, financial support. They're going to start trying to get to these kids early in their teenage years, think 12, 13 years old. And they're going to mentor these kids. And they're effectively going to offer financial support, you know, jobs, if you will, internships, mentorships, to keep these kids off the streets. If they keep their nose clean, Gary, and they don't steal your work truck, they're going to make a couple $100 a week. And that is a effective deterrent, man. You give people financial opportunity, they're less likely to steal. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. We ain't done yet.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789.
And welcome all the fine listeners tuning in after the Brewer game. Brewers finished the season 86-75, a shutout victory on the final game of the season, 3-0. They come up too short. The Phillies lost today. So effectively, the Phillies one game up for the wild card. Brewers eliminated the other night, but really two games. They had lost the tiebreaker to the Phillies. If they ended up tied, it would have been even more heartbreaking. But you want to hear the good news?
Tell me the good news.
Here's the good news. Our News Talk Brewers affiliate, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, Oshkosh. Oshkosh Air Support. Well, we couldn't roll it out until we completed the Brewers lineup. So anytime now, Fancy Brian, just turn her on. Tell somebody up in Osh Vegas that, you know, by tomorrow, let's say, you'll be able to hear the greatest radio show ever. But no more Brewers. The season's over. And our Twinkies fans tuning in, your Twinkies also lost. WCPT Cubbies fans, you guys ended the season with the victory, but so what? You're like in fourth place.
It's just heartbreaking. Come on, man. The Brewers, nobody made it, man.
844-967-27 Bucks and six. 844-967-2789. Dave, the long road home, the long and winding road. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
I'm just frustrated because I've seen so many ads and propaganda from the Republicans, and I don't hear nothing from Barnes on the radio. I hear nothing. All I see is jelly commercials. Face it, I get more information from your Modelo mash than the freaking, Barnes himself.
Our friends at the Minocqua Brewing Company would appreciate you drinking some of that Mandela mash. They're one of our fine sponsors.
Yes, but the thing is, it's frustrating. You guys has built a monopoly, a fine station, and no ads, no interviews, nothing. What the heck is wrong with them? I'll end it at that.
Well, we appreciate you listening, Dave. I cannot give you an adequate response, nor do I feel like anyone's adequately answered that question I pose. Mandela Barnes tentatively scheduled on this fine program October 10th, 4:50 to 5 o'clock p.m. Dom.
Hey, no, Dave, that's a week from Monday. Crudy has a hard time making friends sometimes. So, you know, that could have something to do with it.
Come on, man. We had Mandela on the show like 50 times.
I'm just kidding, man. Come on, relax. 844-967-2789.
Don't even start, man. I still got a headache.
Good news for everyone. Democratic U.S. Senate candidate Mandela Barnes said Wednesday his campaign raised $20.1 million for the three-month period that ran through September, which included a period he won after he won the August primary. Mandela raised $20.1 million.
Well, that explains it, Dave. Mandela can't afford any radio ads. He's only got $20 million to spend in the next 30 days.
Well, and this, and you bring up a great point, and I promise we'll get back to the phones, but as an advertiser, I mean, you only have so many slots, only so many minutes to sell on any station, be it radio or, you know, whatever the case may be, or television. And once those slots are full, Crudy, what happens then?
Better not call Crudy. Too late then. No, I would have to accept the ads.
No more slots left. If television is all sold out.
Can I point out, on WRCE right now, we have Republican Assembly candidates buying ads. Republican candidates buying ads on the Civic Media Network. And I have to accept those ads because that's the obligation I have as a licensee to the community. But I've got more Republican ads running on this station in the short run than Democratic ads. So that doesn't gall me at all. 844.
Not at all. 9-6-7. You look like you're handling it very well.
Oh, yes. Real good. The Pounders treat me great. CJ from Beaver Dam, the good CJ. Welcome, hey, CJ. What do you got for us?
Hey, fellas. Hey, revenue's revenue. Cash is green.
Well, I got to cash it. If it comes from a qualifying candidate, it's not an option. I can turn down money from super PACs, but once you take one, you basically got to take them all if they're not lying as well.
Free speech, right?
Yep, sort of. It ain't free, but, cost you a little jing.
You guys were talking about COVID earlier, and the other guy that washes his mouth out with Ron Johnson's sphincterine.
CJ, I'm going to move on because I don't know where you're going, but I don't really want to live in that neighborhood. 844-967-2789. Here's a fresh name. Millie from Madison. Welcome, Millie. What do you got for us?
Hey, Millie.
Yeah, hi. So I'm calling about the John Nichols and what he said and how the whole peanut butter and jelly advertisement, yeah, that is clever, but he's right. At this point, Mandela Barnes should be taking a baseball bat to Johnson. He should be doing what Fetterman's doing. I already voted. I mean, how many people have already voted? And Ron Johnson and all his dirty money, it's floating all over Wisconsin. So I don't understand.
Well, here's the good news, Millie. Those that have early voted, in all probability, probably cast their ballot for the blue team, for Mandela Barnes. No one that's voting for Ron Johnson, excepting a few going on vacation, has early voted. You know, they're all waiting for Election Day, Millie.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think there's a lot of older folks in Wisconsin who vote by mail.
No, I do think you make a valid point, Millie. I think many of them are snowbirds and they head south. Nobody wants to wait for the throes of winter to head south, including this guy. Appreciate your call. Thank you for listening. We're going to try to keep it moving. 844-967-2789. Pizza Box can give you like a minute, buddy.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I got to tell you, that peanut butter and jelly sandwich while he's trying to look at the camera just didn't look all that natural or anything. But, hey, listen, the guy that's running for attorney general, I just happened to run into him having a little press conference.
Josh Call or Eric Toney, the Republican?
I don't know what that clown's name is. Not Call. No, the other guy.
Toney.
He's ripping on Call. Yeah, he's ripping on Call about not having funding and defunding and not having these positions filled. And, of course, I was there, Crudy, so I threw out the question, you do realize Robin Voss holds the keys to the funding. And, of course, then another guy said, yeah, governor's been asking for more in the budget. But then I pounded them later, asked them what they thought about January 6th. When they were done with theirs, I continued mine. And if you listen to Saturday, I think I'll have Evan edit some of the fine material. Yeah.
Pizza Box Mike, host of Outside the Pizza Box. Everyone's promoting their own show right here. Tune in noon to 1 o'clock, apparently with some exclusive Eric Toney sound Republican AG candidate in the great state of Wisconsin. Thank you all for listening to the Devil's Advocates Native Roots Radio is next. Got the big high school football show in Wausau. And I believe tomorrow night, I guess it's tomorrow night, the Jim Leonard Show. I told you the wrong time, folks. 6:05 on WRCE and WFHR. I'll try to keep you posted right here on the Devil's Advocates. That's all I do. Update other people's shows. Thanks for listening to this one.